It's week Sedra Parshas Yisro. Nini Nishmas Yaakov Yitzhak Ben Chaim, dedicated by the Weinbach family, Weinblatt family, and also a Meir Dov Herman as he leaves the yeshiva. And Seischem L'Shalom, Boruchem L'Shalom. Okay. At the beginning of the Sedra, we find Yisro giving advice to Moshe Rabbeinu and how to set up a legal system to appoint judges, that Moshe Rabbeinu shouldn't have to do the whole job himself. And the pasuk says, "Bishavtu esam b'cholait," and then be able to judge the people constantly. "Vayakol davar gadol yabiulech," everything great, big will come to you, and the smaller things will go to the lesser judges. "Vakel me'alech v'nasuitach," and it'll lighten the load for you. And then the pasuk continues. Next pasuk, "Im es hadavar hazeh taseh v'tzivcha Elokim yachol tamod," and if Moshe Rabbeinu, in fact, you do what I'm telling you to do, and Hashem agrees to it, "V'gam kol ha'am hazeh al mekomo yavo b'shalom," then the whole nation will all arrive at the destination in peace. So the Chafetz Chaim has an interesting question that we know. The Gemara in Brachas says in Daf Samech Dalet that when, to a live person, you say Leich Lishalom. And to a dead person, you say Leich Bishalom. Right? So the simple meaning they say is that you say to a live person, because going to Shleimus, Shalom refers to Shleimus, that a person constantly grows and more and more and more, so he goes towards Shleimus, Lishalom. However, a dead person is chofshi me'amitzvah, he can't go any more further on, he can't, you know, progress, and therefore he's bishalom wherever he is, where he, when he died, and that's the end of that. So to a dead person, say bishalom, live person, lishalom. That's the case, he asks, why the lashon over here, bishalom? It should have said, v'chol ha'am hazeh al mekomo yavo lishalom. They're talking about the people here, the live people. And they say, if you do what I'm telling you to do, Moshe Rabbeinu, then everybody will reach the destination, should be Lishalom, because I'm a live people. Why do you say Bishalom? So the Chafetz Chaim used to say, and it's not his own thing, it's from Chazal, that a person who owes money in this world and doesn't pay it back, for whatever reason, whether he borrowed money, whether Chas v'Shalom he stole money, whatever the case might be, and he doesn't return the money, so very often he has to come back as a Gilgal to this world to repay his debt. Which is, as far as I say, a Gilgal is not a pleasant thing. The Shama, once it leaves this world and goes to the next world, does not want to come back to this world. It's a very painful experience. But a person who owes money and leaves the world this way, he's forced to come back as a Gilgal to repay his debts. There's a Maisa brought down in the Me'am Loes in Parshas Hazinu. And the Hasidim say it in the name of the Baal Shem Tov. But the Mayam Lois says in the name of the of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Moshe Rabbeinu once asked Kodesh Baruch Hu if he can please show him his ways, how he runs the world. So Hashem revealed to Moshe a man sitting under a tree. And he was tree was along the derech, he was traveling, he was tired. So the person was under the tree, relaxing, and he fell asleep. A few minutes later, this rich man comes in his carriage, horse and buggy, and he's also traveling and he's tired, so he tells his driver to stop for a minute. He wants to take a little break under this nice big shady tree where this other man was, the first man was resting. So the rich man gets down and he's holding in his hand an attaché case with a lot of money in it. And he's, make sure he doesn't lose it. He's holding it in his hand, so he takes it, sits down next to the tree, and he dozes off. So, a few minutes later, he wakes up, and he goes, okay, he had a good rest, and he stretches, and he gets back on his horse and buggy, and away he goes. But, he forgot his money. So the briefcase is sitting there. The first guy is in deep sleep. He hasn't woken up yet. He's still sleeping through this whole thing. And he's sleeping, and next to him is a briefcase, all the money. Meanwhile, a third guy comes along, and he stops by this tree also, and he sees next to this tree this briefcase. So he looks and picks it up, opens it up, and you see it's full of money. He goes, oh, my lucky day. You know, takes the briefcase and goes off with it. Meanwhile, the rich man realizes that, oh, I forgot my briefcase, you know. So he quickly tells the driver to go back to the tree to get a suitcase. He goes back, arrives at the tree, and no briefcase, of course, because the other guy took it. Meanwhile, the first guy's still there sleeping. There's all of this. Still sleeping. So now, of course, he goes up to him and he wakes him up. He goes, wake up. He goes, what's going on? He says, where's my briefcase? He goes, what briefcase? Come on, what briefcase? You know what briefcase. I'm bringing with all my money in it. I put it down right next to you, and where is it? He goes, I don't know what you're talking about. I was sleeping all the time. He goes, right, you're sleeping all the time. You're not sleeping all the time. Come on, you're the only guy here. Nobody else around. You took my money. Can I give me my money back? I don't know what you're talking about. I was sleeping all the time. Yeah, he starts kicking him, and he starts punching him, and brutally, you know, attacking him. And he doesn't have the money. He doesn't have the money. He said, I don't have it. So finally the guy was like bleeding and broken bones, whatever, lying there. And finally the rich man realized that he didn't have the money. So he drove off, and that was the end of that. So Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, wow, he says, that's not fair. That's not fair. What does this poor guy do? Right? He's just sitting there and sleeping through this whole thing, and he gets beaten up, brutally beaten up. He didn't do anything. It was not fair. So Kodesh Baruch Hu says, let me tell you something. He says, see, you don't understand what was going on before this. He says, what? These people, these three guys are all in Gilgulim. They all came back from previous lives. What happened? In the previous lives, you see, this rich man, okay, he was Tovea, he was acclaimed as a plaintiff against this other man for wanting to get some money out of this poor man. And it was not true, you know, he tried to get money out of this guy when it wasn't really true. So what did he do? He paid off the judge, the Dayan, he slipped him shochad, you know, bribery. And because of that, the judge, you know, judge in favor of the rich guy and this guy, and that was it. So now, these three people have to come back to this world, the plaintiff, the defendant, and the judge. So the rich man who in the previous life got, you know, ani manis guy by paying off the shochad, which is not money really coming to him, is really stealing. So he therefore now, as we saw, lost his money. He came for his briefcase down and left, and his money was lost. The guy that drove by and took the money, he was the guy that lost the money in the previous life because of the rich guy. And the guy that got beaten up for no reason was the judge that took shochad and paskined in favor of the wrong guy because of the shochad that he took, and now he got his punishment of getting beaten up. So you see, he says, well, looks like not fair because you don't know what's going on in their previous lives. Came back as a Gilgal, whole different story. Similar, there's a Chassidish Maaser of Mirmi Parmishlan. He says that once he was visiting a chassid of his, a wealthy man, and he was running around whatever, you know, the Rebbe wanted, this, that. So he said, Rebbe, please, anything else, can I get you something, whatever you want, I'll give you. So the Rebbe said, actually, I do want something. He goes, what's that? He says, anything, I'll give you. He said, I'd like to have one of your horses. He says, my horses? No problem, I have a whole bunch of horses. You want a horse? Please, come with me. They take him to the stable. And he says, please, Rebbe, what would you like? So he says, I want that black one over there. He goes, Rebbe, he says, anything but that black one. Take any horse, but this is not that black horse. He says, Rebbe, you don't understand. He says, that black horse works harder than 10 horses put together. So I don't mind giving anything, just not that black horse. So the Rebbe says, no, I really wanted that one. He says, no, Rebbe, please, anything else? He goes, okay, no, you don't want to give it to me? Don't give it to me, fine. So later on, the guy said, anything else though I can get you, Rebbe? So he said, do you have shtari chov, like people that owe you money, you know, that you lend money to, whatever? He says, yeah, sure, of course. Yeah, I'm a wealthy man, I lend all kinds of people money, all kinds of people owe me money. He says, well, can I have one of those shtarei chov? You know, I'll take over the debt, so I'll be able to collect it, you know. So he goes, Rebbe, for you, anything, of course, please. So he takes him to his filing cabinet, whatever's all the, you know, cards of all the people who owe money, all the shtars. And he goes, please, go ahead. So Rebbe's looking through, no. He goes, here it is. Picks it up, he goes, I want this one. Okay? So he goes, Rebbe, this one you want. And that was the opposite. He says, Rebbe, it's not worth your while. Why'd you choose this one? This one's it's a lost cause. You know, this guy is dead, the guy that owed me the money, he died. And his children, you know, they're really owed the money. The Yorshim, forget it, they're not good people, and I can. It's a lost debt. Why don't you pick one that you know you'll be able to collect the money? It's lost. He goes, no, I want this one. That's fine. Okay, you want this one, so we could take it, of course. So he says, okay. So he takes it out and he says, now this you'll give me this shtar chov. He goes, please, of course, I don't need it. So it's useless. He said, no, you really give it to me? He says, but mamish b'leiv shalem, your mamish give it over to me? He says, of course, Rabbi, why not? Mamish don't want it. You can have it, please. The simcha, leiv shalem. He goes, yeah, fine. And he takes it, and he rips it up. Just then, as soon as he rips up the thing, all of a sudden, the rich man's shamash comes running in. He goes, boss. He goes, what is it? He goes, the horse. So he goes, uh-oh. He says, oh no, don't tell me. He goes, yeah, your black horse. You know the one that works like 10 horses? It just died. It's collapsed, dead. So he starts crying. He goes, oh no. He goes, Rebbe, please, show me Darche Etshuva. He goes, I know, it's because I didn't give you the horse when you asked for it. That's why it died. And no, I'm sorry. I knew I should have given it to you. I'm sorry. Please, tell me how to do Etshuva, whatever. So Rebbe goes, no. He goes, don't worry. Calm down. That's not the pshat. Didn't give me. So he goes, Rebbe, but let me explain to you what happened. You see, this guy that you saw that, you know, I took the shtar chov, you know, the guy owes you money, you said he's dead. He said, in a chanam, he's dead. But he owes you the money. And he didn't pay you. And his yashim aren't paying you. And, you know, in Shemayim, he has a black mark against him. He owed money in this world, and he never paid it. So what did they do? They sent him down as a gilgal in this horse. Okay? And that's why that black horse was working very, very hard, because he wanted to pay off the debt as quick as he can. So he works really hard. He wants to go back up to Shemayim. So he's working. And by working for you, that's he's paying off the money that he owes you. So I felt bad for this poor neshama, said the Rebbe. And therefore, I wanted you to give me the horse. By mevatering on the horse, it's like you're being mevater on the loan, and then the guy will have his tikkun, and he can finish. But you didn't want to give me the horse. So, okay, so I took a different approach. What did I do? I found that shtar chov, that this guy owes you the money. I asked you to give it to me, so now he owes me the money. And then, that's why I made sure it was b'leiv shalem, that your mom was giving it to. And then I tore it up, now you don't owe me, the guy has no money anymore. So now he can go back to Shammai with the clean slate. And the horse that died, that's because he was a gilgal of this guy. He doesn't need the tikkun anymore. He's got his tikkun, you know, he doesn't owe the money anymore. So that's why your horse died. So that's the story behind the horse. Similarly, also an unbelievable story. There's this family called Blass, Mishpachat Blass, and they used to live in a section of Yerushalayim called Kerem, and many, many years ago. And in those days, this was the days before washing machines. So the people used to wash with the, you know, with a bowl of water or whatever, some go down to the stream, but in Yerushalayim, you know, not too many rivers there, so they used to, you know, take a thing of water and soap, whatever, and wash in a basin, whatever. So this Mishmachat Blass, they had this woman that would come in every now and then to wash their clothes, because it's a big avoda, you know. So people that could afford it, you know, they would hire these clothes washers. Anyway, so this woman's clothes were piling up, and her clothes washer didn't show up, and she was, you know, she was going to do. So she's standing there in her courtyard, and all of a sudden, mamish out of the blue, this woman comes up to her and says, excuse me, do you need by any chance your clothes washed? Because I'm a clothes washer, and I can use some money, whatever, you need your... So she says, oh, wow, mamish mina shemaim, yeah, mamish, my clothes washer didn't show up, and I could use someone, I mean, great, can you, he goes, yeah, please. So fine, so dumps her all the clothes, And woman's working and working, work like a horse. Mommy, she's working, cleaning all the things, really working really hard. And this Mrs. Blass is watching and goes, wow, you know, bad for her. Like, she's working so hard. It was in the heat of the sun. It was in the summer. And she's working. So she makes a little plate of, you know, like a drink or whatever, cookies, you know, to give this woman. So she comes out to her and says, here, I brought you something there. And she goes, no. She goes, why not? I mean, she goes, I'm fasting. She goes, whoa, fasting? Yeah, I'm not eating, I'm fasting today. So she's, okay, fine. So she took the stuff in, and the woman's working like crazy, washing all the clothes the whole day, and the heat and everything. Okay, but fasting. So finally, she waited till it was like Tzeitha Kochavim, so the fast was over. And she said, okay, Baruch Hashem, I feel terrible for this woman, you know, working so hard and not eating the whole day. So she makes this nice, you know, dinner for her or whatever, and goes out to give it to her. And she sees all the clothes hanging on the line, everything clean and everything. No woman. Brought the food, no woman. And she says, where is she? So she's looking here, looking there. Couldn't find her. So she goes outside onto the street. She looks around. No. I was asking people, did you see this woman? I described her. Nobody saw this woman. And she felt terrible. She said, first of all, this poor woman is like fasting the whole day, and she's probably starving and thirsty and everything. And I feel terrible. I couldn't, you know. And worse, I owe her the wages. You know, she worked very hard the whole day. I owe her the money. And where is she? So she asked people to look around, and that nothing. Nobody can find her. So what can you do? You know, she tried. So she went to sleep that night, and in her sleep, this woman appears to her in a dream. This little clothes washer, right? Players through in a dream. And she goes, oh, there you are. She goes, what happened to you? He says, well, you disappeared. You know, you washed the clothes. I wanted to pay you and give you to eat. Pay, well, what, where are you? What happened? So he goes, you don't understand. She says, I'm not from the living. Like, okay. I hear. What do you mean? So she says, I'll tell you the story. She says that I was Nifter. She says, I was a neighbor of yours. Okay, and I was nifter, went to the next world, and Baruch Hashem, I had like a clean slate, and everything was looking good, and I went straight to the door for Gan Eden, get into Gan Eden, and locked, couldn't get in. So what's going on? I have a clean slate. How come I can't get in here? Their door doesn't open. So he said, sorry, you can't come in. I says, why not? He says, well, in your lifetime, you're very good in everything, but once you borrowed a lemon from your neighbor, the Blasses, okay? You borrowed a lemon from your neighbor, and you forgot to pay it back. You didn't return the lemon. Says you can't go into Gan Eden. You owe money. So she goes, well, now what? She goes, you have to Megalga. You have to go back as a Gilgal. You owe the oldest Mrs. Blass the money. She goes, oh, no, please, you know. They said, no choice. So she said, okay, but at least Baruch Hashem, they gave me a way to mitaken, and I came down into this world, and that's why I offered myself to work for you that day, just to pay off the money I owed you in work, and that's why I didn't take any pay, because I owed you the money for this lemon, and it must have been an expensive lemon, but whatever. So I worked to pay off the lemon, and then I went back upstairs, and now Baruch Hashem, everything's fine, I got my tikkun. So we see the awesome, the person doesn't realize, you just say, what, a lemon? Okay, forgot to, every pruta, to be very careful returning everything you own. The Mele says, very nice that we asked the Pasuk with Yisro, when he said, told to Moshe Rabbeinu, Kol ha'ama zeh al mekamo yavo b'shalom, do what I tell you, have all the judges, everything, then everybody will come to the destination b'shalom. We asked, what's b'shalom? It should have been l'shalom. We're talking about live people. So he said, no, we're talking about b'shalom to dead people. Mean that if you have the judges and judge everything properly, like you're supposed to do, then what's going to happen? Then everybody will owe, who owes money will pay money properly, because you have the judge, the case will be judged properly. Moshe Rabbeinu won't be tired. You'll be able to, other people judge the cases, and everything will be judged perfectly. Nobody's going to steal from anybody else, because who owes money will have to pay, because, judges will do their job. And then everybody will, as the lesson is, kol ha'amazeh al mekamo yavo b'shalom. And then when they're nifter, when they're dead, they're getting Yavolam to their place, Bishalom, meaning they won't have to come back as a Gilgal. we'll go to the place Bishalom, everything will be fine. As that's why the base is the is referring to the dead. They'll have their Shalt Shlemus and they in the next world and they won't have to come back as a Gilgal. So end with one last story. The I saw different people in this and a little different story and same idea. I'm sure it's from the same story, it's in different form. But the one I'll share with you is I read in the name of the Maharal Prague. It says that once there was a woman came to the Maharal and with a shayla. In those days, you know, you didn't go to the supermarket and buy a frozen chicken, you know, and everything with all the hechsherim all over it. You know, you have to, you go, you get a chicken, bring it to the shochet, shechs, and then you have to kasher it and do everything. Anyway, so this chicken was brought, this woman brought this shayla of this chicken to the Maharal, and he looks at it. And he says, I see it's a problem, it's a shayla. And, but I'm not going to paskin. So what am I supposed to do? He says, well, go to down to the other end of town. This tells exactly the address. He says, go and ask for this person and get the psak from them. So he said, I couldn't understand what that's all about. But he said, okay, fine. So she goes to the other end of town, finds the address, goes to the thing, knocks on the door and says, yes, I'm looking for so-and-so. So the lady goes, why do you want him? So he says, well, I was told I have this chicken here, I need psak. So the person is like, what are you talking about? The person you're asking for is a 9-year-old kid, our son, and he's nebuch, deaf-mute. You know, he's never spoke a word in his life. Born that way, can't hear, can't speak, whatever, he's 9 years old, deaf, mute. Why? Well, what's that to do with your chicken? She goes, you know, I have no idea. But I went to the Maharal, and he said to go to this, I guess, ask for your son to paskin on this chicken. So he says, but my son doesn't even talk. And like, what do you mean? He's not a Talmud Chacham. What are you supposed to? Listen, Maharal, you don't play around with the Maharal, okay? The Maharal tells you to do something, you do it. So she goes, fine. So she calls her, so brings her son out, and she says, he doesn't hear or anything, but she says, here, there's a chicken here, paskin on it, whatever. So he looks at it, and he goes, kosher, and he dies. So, well, she got her chicken, went back to Maharal and says, okay, what's pshat? What's pshat over here? Go with this 9-year-old guy, deaf, mute, kosher, he dies, and oh, what's going on? So he says, you have to understand the story behind this. He says, there was once a Rav, and a big tzaddik, and he was one who was once one Erev Shabbos. He was very busy. People asked him shailas, and it was, you know, a short day. And there was an almana, a widow. She had a number of kids, you know, along with that, very poor woman, that she saved up her money. And she finally, you know, was able to buy a chicken for Shabbos, which she hadn't had for years, you know. And she saved all her money, put it just to have a chicken for to give her kids for Shabbos. And she was waiting for this Rav, you know, to get Pesach on the thing. And finally, it was her turn, because she saw it was, you know, she went to the Shokhe, and the Shokhe checked and saw it was a problem, so she had to show it to the Rav. So she brought it to this Rav, and the Rav looked at it, and he said, no good, treif. Now it wasn't really treif, but he was so much under pressure. It was a short day, Erev Shabbos, whatever. He didn't mayen enough. He didn't look into it enough. He's like, I'm not sure. Instead of starting Shulchan Aruch, he didn't have time for all that. So he said, pay it safe to say it's treif, but it really wasn't. And this poor woman has saved up all her money for this chicken, dumped the chicken in the garbage. What can you do? It's treif, and that was the end of that. So Maharal said, this Rav came to the next world, also clean slate, fine, tzaddik, everything, but they said, you're not going into Gan Eden. Why? You stole, or whatever you want to say, from this woman. You know, this woman saved up her hard-earned money for this chicken, and you trafed it up for no reason. It was really okay. It was under pressure, you didn't mean to, of course, but lamaisa, you caused this woman a loss, and you have to come back as a Gilgal. So he goes, oh no, I don't want to come back as a Gilgal. It's terrible, who knows, I may come back, I might not come be the same tzaddik again a second time, I might not be able to be as good as I was this time, and I don't want to take the chance. Anyway, they heard, and they had Rachmanis on him, and they said, okay, fine, well, we'll make it easy for you. You'll go back, as a deaf mute, a kid, a deaf mute, you won't be able to putter from Torah mitzvahs anyways, you know, if you're deaf mute. And you'll just there for the, and then the chicken will come to you, you'll this time paskin properly, it's kasher, and then you'll have your tikkun. Then you'll die and you'll come back to that thing. Okay, that he can handle. And he said that, explain that's the story behind this this psak of this 9-year-old kid. So, the of course, the lessons, all these maisim are clear. Like we said before, a person has to be very careful with somebody else's money. You don't think, the impruta can be din meya. It's only 10 agorot, it's only a shekel, who cares? Every chas v'shalom, person has to come back for gilgul, for everything, every penny that he, or pruta at least, that he owes, and he didn't pay in this world. But just in conclusion, I saw an interesting, for a sefer called Binyan Olam, and he brings down in the, from the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, in the name of Rav Chaim Vital, who is a student of the Arizal, one who's a prize Talmidim, and we see that it doesn't only apply to returning money. So I'll quote, he says like this, Shekol nefesh tzricha letikuna lasok bepardes kefima shehi yecholah lasig leida. So that every neshama comes down this world, has to be osik in Torah, every man, and pardes, you know, pshat, remesh, drash, sod, all areas of the Torah. And a person has to put in his effort and try to amass as much, you know, Torah as he possibly can in this world. As he says, yechomat, what he could, yecholah lasig leida, what he can achieve and to know. Somebody who has the wherewithal to learn, and he could know a lot. But he didn't. He could have learned a lot, but he didn't. He learned a little bit. Right? He didn't put in all the effort he could. So says Rav Chaim Vital, Sarich lavo v'gilgul. He has to come back for a gilgul. Not only owing money. Person didn't learn as much Torah as he possibly could. Also, tzarich, says Rav Chaim Vital, lavo b'gilgol, ad sheyasig v'yeda kol ma she'efshar l'nishmato l'asig from yedias haTorah. In other words, what his neshama could have learned in this world and didn't do it, he has to come back as a gilgol to make up. You know, you could have done more and you didn't. Just come back again to make up for it when you didn't learn the first time. So we see it's not only money, a person has to be careful when it comes to his learning also, is to put in his effort and say, okay, whatever, I learned a little bit, yeah, I was coming 8 days here or there, whatever, learned, no, I'm fine, you know, I did my daf. No, it's not enough, right? If that's all you could do, you maxed out, you know, you, as much as you possibly could do, fine, that's it. You're not asked to do more than you possibly can do. But if a person didn't do all he can do, that's for sure, as Chaim Vital said, the person has to come back to the Gilgul for that as well, to Metakin and Mashlim, what he was not able to, didn't complete in this world, and his knowledge of Torah as well. So therefore, we have to take this to heart, and make sure we return all our money, and invest all our efforts, as much as we can, in learning Torah, so we should be zoiche to lavo, l'mekomenu, b'shalom, right, not have to come back, go shleimus into the next world, and in this world we should do what we can to bring the Mashiach Tzidkenu b'mehirah v'yameinu.
Amen.